Hello. All right, yeah. We're running. It's working.
We're good.
We're recording.
We've got
pretty lights now.
We fancy now.
People can see you and shit. All right. Welcome to the show and shit. Brandon.
Well, I guess we're going to dive right into it, huh?
Yeah, fuck it. Brandon.
All right, yeah.
You were just at Otakon, which is the biggest anime show on the East Coast. Well, I think they think it's the biggest anime show.
Okay.
I don't know if this is what you were geeking on, but please give us a report as much as you're willing to divulge. What the sights that you saw... The animus that you saw, the good, the bad, the great.
I can power through this. So everyone should know up front, I'm not a huge anime fan, so I don't geek out about anime related things the way a lot of other people do. So my review of Otakon and my experiences are probably more on like a chaperone-y dad kind of level, but I can enjoy Otakon as a con. I'll say that setup was really easy. Getting through badge line was really good. It was staffed very well. Didn't really have any issues or anything else like that. And even though it is kind of notorious for its lines, everything was really run properly. So thumbs up to the con and everyone we dealt with at the con. We as in Super Art Fight had a really good experience that way. The DC Convention Center Union can suck my hairy balls.
Ooh.
Because they would not let us strike the stage setup, and we were told that if we tried to move everything, bad things were going to happen.
Oh, shit.
I apologize to anyone who came out to see us for our regular show on Saturday and put up with the grainy 1999 webcam version of Super Art Fight that we had to put on by using the only stage camera that they had. Somehow was like an old pedestal camera that who the hell know where it came from.
Was that for the main show?
That was for the regular Art Fight show, yes.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we made it work, and it was a lot of fun, but that was a whole thing. So I do not blame the con for that. That is the DC Convention Center staff union having their way with everything. So live and learn that way. Con floor layout was cool. They set up the entire Dragon Ball booth from San Diego.
Oh, so yeah.
Gigantic Shenron was there, and all the, the Frieza statues and all the Gokus and all the other shit and the Vegeta statues. So, like, that was pretty cool. And that took up a large portion of the floor. I'd argue that booth set up, and I don't know how big it was in San Diego, but
it was huge.
I'd argue that booth set up was as big as the charity auction art display.
Hmm.
Like, and if anyone's been to Otakon before, you know, they have that entire area of, like, you know, art that is paneled off and cordoned off in the corner. And it takes up, almost like a half an artist alley size area. This was in the main dealer room, and it took up a huge bite of that. As you and I were talking about, I think attendance was down.
Oh.
And I don't think they've rebounded from Baltimore.
Okay.
My understanding of the numbers in Baltimore, they were near capacity or at capacity, and I believe capacity in the Baltimore Convention Center is 35,000. My understanding is last year they took a big hit. Supposedly they were 2,000 up is the rumors I was hearing. Please understand any of the numbers that I'm throwing around are all heard secondhand, so I have no idea how accurate they are. I can only explain from my experience. In Baltimore, it always felt very crowded, very tight.
Mm-hmm.
In DC, the same venue that AwesomeCon happens. My understanding, this year they did, I believe, 26,000 people.
Ooh.
As comparison, Anime Boston, I believe last year did 27.
Man.
And for a real comparison, AwesomeCon did about 75.
Holy shit.
So when I say that the con floor felt empty, it's no disrespect. It's the using the same square footage as AwesomeCon having one-third the people.
Oh, man. Yeah. Jeez.
So, on the plus side, it was an enjoyable area to walk around. So that was really nice. They had – the only thing that I would probably maybe complain about is they ended up putting the Artist Alley in a completely separate con floor that wasn't able to be attached to the dealer room and wasn't right next door to the dealer room. So you had to basically go up to the escalator and then go way the hell down the convention almost to where Jamie, you and I would enter where the food court is to be able to enter in to go down into Artist Alley.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Artist Alley, credit, it was as full as the dealer room when I went in there about midday, 12:30 on Saturday.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's the meat and potatoes of the con time. I think we were doing our show probably meat and potatoes time. We were on stage about 2:30 to 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, it had a decent turnout. Seemed like people were buying things. There were some enjoyable vendors. You know, it was an Otakon. The plus side is it seemed like a lot of the kids that were going were being very respectful of each other.
Oh,
I don't
nice.
Remember rolling my eye at any assholes on the elevators or anything. We ended up staying at the hotel that was connected to the convention center, which is usually a bit of a clusterfuck, but
yeah.
It was actually really nice. No fighting for elevators, none of the BS going on. Like, it was a very enjoyable like, I actually was low stress and relaxed the entire weekend.
What the fuck? That's
I
awesome.
Never was like, fuck this con, this is terrible. Like, at no point was I like, this is awful, I hate everything.
That's good.
So, yeah. And I think that attributes to not only the con staff doing a great job, but also the con goers being very respectful of each other. So
very cool.
I can say with confidence from my dad review, if you have a nerdy kid and they're thinking about going to a convention, yes, DC is expensive.
Uh-huh.
Yes, the hotel is going to be expensive, but take the metro down, buy a day pass, go to Otakon. It's a good show in a big venue that will make a kid feel really special, like they're doing something really cool. And it's a comfortable environment to let them be them.
Awesome.
The other thing, and I'm not sure how I word this comfortably, but I'm just going to word it. There were a lot of anime nerds in cosplay that were people of color.
And oh, cool. That's
awesome.
And
I'm not used to seeing that. And the reason I bring that up is because I'm genuinely not used to seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe it's probably just the demographic of moving to DC that it became more readily available. But it was fucking awesome to see where it was like, I don't see another fucking sweaty fedora-clad neckbeard buying a creepy body pillow. Motherfucker, were there a lot of body pillow cases. Seriously, Jamie. I think, by the way, that is when you make a turn.
Mm-hmm.
When you take your fan art or your, God forbid, original art, and you're like, you know what I'm going to make? Body pillow cases. You are telling yourself that what you've drawn is fuckable. And that is a confidence level that some of you should not have.
That's always a goal. If someone wants to fuck your OC, then you know you've made it.
Someone, yes. When you are buying stock in yourself, when you are contacting a printer to say, hey, do you make body pillow cases? Know that they put you on a fucking list. a one Ross Nover buying t-shirts and ties and stuff like that, he ain't on anybody's list.
Right.
All
right?
You're going to get put on a watch list. You're adjacent to some questionable material happening right now. Know that. Like, somewhere in your DeviantArt history, you were drawing a dragon fucking something.
Oh, yeah. I had to table next to somebody who, yeah, I won't get into that.
I think I was actually there for that con.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Playboy shirts akimbo. Jesus.
Yeah, that wasn't the best.
Kids, look, okay, the short version also is if you're vending, be respectful. Remember that an anime convention is not only for you old school, and apparently I'm told this is a derogatory term, weebs. People apparently get really upset when you call them that. I didn't learn that the hard way. One host with the most learned that the hard way. But
oh no, did Marty get blasted?
There was a conversation about whether or not it was appropriate, and when it was thrown out at a possible later show, it was met with mixed results.
Ooh.
Which makes me giggle like a fucking child. But when you see that half of the audience go, oh, you motherfucker, and then the other half go, ha! half of you think that weebs are terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't know what sort of subset, and I don't want to know. Please don't slide into my DMs. Don't hit me up about it.
we're reaching out, making friends and potential enemies that'll put us on blast for years.
To my be respectful that there are children and young adults at these shows, and don't draw your terrible crap. Or more importantly, if you're going to draw your terrible crap, don't flaunt it like crazy.
Yeah, put a sticker on that. Put a sticker on them nips.
It's kids, and mind you, I think the con went around and kind of censor barred a lot of stuff. But like when you've got your gigantic pillowcases front and center with your scantily clad women of larger carriage, that's going to cause a 12-year-old to ask some questions that they may have been asking already, but probably shouldn't ask of someone drawn on a pillowcase.
Yeah.
That's the sort of discovery and niche porn that they need to get into when they're sad, lonely, and 23. That's I have a roommate, and that roommate is successful and on a date kind of discovery. Like, that's sadness masturbation, and you don't need to show a 12-year-old that sort of thing. You're going to fuck them up long term. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
That's
There's
bad.
A time and a place for that. If you're into that, 12 ain't it.
Speaking of kids, Hazel, do you want to say hello to Brandon?
No.
Hazel! Hazel! Hi!
Brandon saying hi.
I see the elbow.
Do you want to say hi?
I saw an elbow.
Do you want to
hi.
Wave?
Hi.
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 Hey.
Hi.
Smush it.
So, Jamie, I think this actually lets us find out what you're geeking out about, because I saw you make a bunch of posts on Instagram and all over the place about a certain costume that's coming up.
Yes. Well, Hazel decided that we, as a family, should cosplay as Power Rangers.
That's an awesome idea.
And Hazel wants to be the Pink Ranger, so I'm working on a foam helmet build for her. This was the first one. That doesn't fit, so... It doesn't fit, because it's too small.
I can see that. Yeah, it is too small.
And, let me reach over here. This one does fit, but much like the actual stunt helmets, the neck hole is now too small.
Right, so you're going to need to cut that in half and put a lock piece on the sides?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to use some magnets so that it'll be easier for her to take it on and off and stuff.
Okay, that makes sense.
So Hazel's going to be the Pink Ranger.
Awesome.
Audrey's favorite color is green, so she's going to be the Green Ranger, and her helmet is printing downstairs. So I've had to cut up a model file and then print it in, like, a bunch of different steps. So, like, once it's all printed out, then I have to glue it together and sand it, and then figure out how to connect it. And then I'm going to be the Red Ranger, because red is my favorite color.
Okay.
And I have to figure out how I'm going to build my helmet, whether I'm going to do, like, a foam build as well, or if I'm going to do a print build and sand it and all that kind
now,
of stuff.
What's the positive of the 3D print versus the foam?
The 3D print one you can get a really nice sheen to it. So I'm planning on painting these with, like, the most sparkly colors I can. Because, like...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to just paint on model and say, like, this is my solid pink or solid red or solid green. So I'm going to have, like... a sparkly pink for Hazel. I'm gonna have, like, a color change iridescent green for Audrey's helmet.
Yes.
And then something. I'm gonna do, like, a candy like apple.
Yeah. Old 57 Chevy candy apple red sort of thing.
Yeah. So I'm gonna, like, base it with, like, gold flake and then clear it with, like, candy apple red.
Girl.
So, like, and now that I'm talking about it, I think I might need to do it as a print, because the 3D print versions, you can get it, like, real smooth and real shiny and just, like, sparkle and bling it out and all
please
that kind of stuff.
Please record these, even if it's a time lapse, man.
Yeah.
Please. I guarantee you, I saw someone reply to you already asking about Talking Shop.
Yeah.
People want to know, as we hurtle into Toku Tember, you gotta do this.
That's right. Toku Tember is coming up. That's so exciting. But then for the foam builds, foam is cheap.
Okay.
So like the filaments cost like $12, but for $12 you can get all the foam and build like an entire armor set, whereas like it's going to take me like a full week to get all the pieces printed out and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. Okay.
So this is lightweight. It's cheap and easy to build. It's easy to work with, easy to seal. And like, I'm like halfway done with this, whereas the helmet that's printing, it's day three and I'm just starting to print the cheek section.
Ooh.
So foam is faster.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's a whole family thing.
Oh, it is a whole family thing.
Let's see. Is it time for Smushy to go to bed? Is it Smushy bedtime? All right, Hazel, can you give Brandon a wave? Brandon? Hi.
Ah. Hey, Hazel, can we long distance pound it?
Fist bump.
Hide the face.
Hide the face. Hide the face. Hang on, I'll do the same thing. Hazel.
Don't leave him hanging. All right. Good luck. Hazel. He's hanging too.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. We got to get a Smushy to bed. Good night, Smushy.
Good night, Smushy.
Bye-bye.
Chezzy. Stab it.
That's rad. So, yeah. Okay. I got to ask, though. So with the builds and everything, is this just a, like... Actually, that's not really my interesting question. My interesting question is, how much does it cost to 3D print them by comparison? Is it like just a time sink, or is it like six times the cost?
It's a time sink. So the spool of filament that I got will probably get me a full helmet.
Okay.
In my estimation, I was thinking that, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other, like the foam builds are quicker, but they don't, it's not going to look quite as good as I want it to.
Okay.
The 3D print is going to look exactly like I want it to. It's just going to take a lot more time sanding it down and finishing it and painting it and stuff like that.
Okay.
Both approaches have their advantage. And the nice thing about doing it in foam, so when Hazel gets older and this won't fit anymore, I won't feel so bad that I spent like hours and hours priming and stuff.
Right, and that was kind of my thought of as to why you would do the foam one for your daughter, because she's going to grow out of it as her head grows in size.
Yeah,
it's not going to be a wasted effort. Whereas you and the wife can have cool pieces to use, and then you can always get head mannequins mounted up on them and then display them as cool custom pieces.
Yeah.
Which versions of the Rangers are you going with? Traditional American style, like P1 Rangers? Like,
yeah, Mighty Morphin. Okay. So Mighty Morphin was Jūranger in Japan.
Okay.
Which was like the fifth or sixth series.
I was going to say, yeah, I remember you explaining this to me, where it was like, so you know the one that you thought was one? Not one.
Not one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the version of the helmets that we're making. The suits are a different story. I think we're going to try to get like a store-bought for Hazel just because it's easier. But then me and Audrey might have different versions of it, because like the spandex lycra thing is not very comfortable. So
no, the morph suits.
Yeah, so I might, you know, my version might just be wearing my ring gear with my jacket and just like have a custom arm piece or something like that. I don't know. I'll come up with something interesting.
Okay.
But I'm excited. It, like, she cares about Halloween and she cares about stupid dumb shit that I like. So.
Live that up, man. Live that up.
Yeah.
But that's a prime example of what I was just talking about. Don't forget that the anime and the tokusatsu and all that stuff, it's for kids to start with.
Oh, yeah. It's for
Don't
the kids.
Let your terribleness ruin that shit for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because someone was walking around with a kid just like Hazel in a costume with your giant titty pillows hanging out.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. Well, we've been talking a little bit about conventions today, and it's perfect for this week's topic.
What is this topic?
Caravan Comics.
Caravan Comics?
Caravan Comics. Now,
Caravan Comics?
Let me tell you about this idea once again. When me and Phil Chan get together, magic happens. And
okay.
Then,
Right on. Originator of what was this? Dessert ramen?
Dessert ramen. Phil Chan dessert ramen. So Caravan Comics. Once upon a time, I was on the wait list for Small Press Expo, and I was very concerned that I wouldn't get into the show. So I told my readers, because I was doing my webcomic Full Tilt at the time, I was like, if I don't get in, fuck it. I'm just going to rent a food truck and park outside and sell comics out of my truck. And I did eventually get into the show, thank God. But I was like randomly getting lunch in DC, and this random dude came up to me and was like, hey, are you Jamie Noguchi? And I was like, yes, because you never know where people know you from.
Right.
And he was like, I really like your idea of a food truck that sells comics. Did you have to do that? And I was like, oh, no. I actually got into Small Press Expo this year. So, you know, fortunately, I didn't have to figure that out. And he said, oh, well, you know, if you ever do, I think it's a great idea. So, Caravan Comics. The idea is we take a Comic-Con to your neighborhood. So like a lot of these big shows are very expensive. Admission is expensive, and then traveling to get to the place is always expensive. Like airfare is not going down. It's not affordable at all. So the idea would be to, you know, find like a big ass parking lot somewhere, like a stadium or a Walmart or any place that would allow a bunch of people to just park their car. And you go there and you caravan down with all your friends who want to sell comics, and you have a tailgate in the parking lot, but instead of doing beer and barbecue and all that kind of stuff, you sell comics and you do, you know, your art table and all that kind of stuff, and you table. And we couldn't figure out if Caravan Comics is the food truck or if Caravan Comics is the event.
Okay, so hang on a second. So I have a couple questions about what your ultimate view of this is, because I'm going to make some comparisons, and I want to make sure I'm nailing the thought process down.
Okay.
The initial thought process was originally for you solo to not get pushed out of a venue or an event.
Yeah.
Okay, like, so that would be where the food truck idea would come in.
Exactly.
Now, I have ideas about how we follow through with that. But then you started down a different rabbit hole, and I want to make sure I'm following you down the right one, Alice. So are we making a solo truck to have one person go and basically do a gorilla con in a parking lot near an event, or are we intentionally creating some sort of comics flea market? Or the third idea, are we doing some sort of like anime or comics themed carnival where you have an excuse to come down, but also instead of just carnival games, there are also booths for artists and what have you, that it basically turns into a like an artscape, but more of an open and more inviting kind of like anime or comic style an event where like you cosplay and you come down and it's Saturday at the Maryland State Fairgrounds and you go down and there is a tilt-a-whirl and yada yada yada, but there's a bunch of Deadpools around.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of comics. Like,
yeah.
So there are three different things, because if we go with the big carnival idea, there's a big bit of cost. It's probably the same sort of issue with running a convention, but also we don't have as many issues with square footage.
Right.
So there's more opportunity to do things, something, and I don't know if anyone local would understand this or even long-term, but like the Sheep and Wool Festival that happens
at
the Howard County Fairgrounds, where there are a bunch of stalls and pavilions where vendors set up that comics people could actually set up their wares and their comics, and we could actually have like a big outdoor con.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that's very doable and I think would be a cool idea. The only problem is weather.
Yes.
The pop-up flea market idea is more similar to your tailgate idea, but I also think that you end up – it's the best way to put this – setting a lower bar for follow-through and clientele, where if you just basically have everyone set up and like you pull your cars up or whatever it is and it creates a flea market, or you know, you have everyone assign their booth spaces and they set up tables, and it's essentially an outdoor like comic style swap meet where they can bring toys and all sorts of shit, and then vendors can have comics and what have you there. There's an expectation that no one's going to buy anything high dollar.
Right.
You're going to lose a lot of what you'd be looking for. It'd be probably more similar to like a small comics kind of like trade show that you'd happen to see at like the ballroom of a hotel. A lot long boxes.
Yeah.
A lot of like, I'm looking for X-Men 2099 issues 1-6. And it's like, fuck, do I not want to talk to that guy? So it's a question of like, where are we going? Or are we going to try and push people basically away from being beholden to your San Diego's, your Otakons, your anime expos, and go full fucking tilt guerrilla style?
I was thinking initially it would be guerrilla style, and the food truck would sell comics from like our friends, like a bunch of indie creators, lesser known people.
Okay.
So like it would be, you know, like instead of going to like the big publishers, you start publishing your own comics. Instead of going to these big conventions, we hold our own thing underground. But then you mentioned like the Sheep and Wool Festival, and I think that would be kind of cool too.
Okay.
And I think one could lead into the other, like the food truck part can be year round, or like a month, like a monthly thing. And you know, you go to different cities every other week or every week or something like that, and just say, here, we're setting up here, we're selling comics from these, and then use that to advertise like your big Sheep and Wool Festival kind of deal.
Okay, I think I got it. All right, so here's my pitch. So you take your existing comics, you pair up with two other creators of similar like, and when I say similar like, I mean what you were offering comic price wise, comic availability wise is something similar. And you partner up with an existing food truck. And the idea is instead of just meeting at the food truck, you know, food truck tweets out, hey, we're gonna be at blah 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 at this school or at this, you know, big industrial park or wherever they're meeting up. You also follow them in your own vehicle, and you set up a booth right next to them. And the idea is, you just got done lunch, but you want to enjoy this day, and you don't want to just sit out on your phone. Who the fuck cares what else is going? Twitter's a shithole. Your friends, you've already scrolled through your Facebook feed when you were on the toilet before you went outside. Instagram, you're going to take your selfie. You're going to scroll through in 5 minutes while you're waiting in line for the food. You need something to take in and read.
Mm-hmm.
Why not read comics? The clientele of most food trucks are people who are 18 to 40, and right now, that is comic nerds.
That's true.
If movies have taught us anything, that's prime demographic.
That's where we live.
Right. Like that is the core of where we live, and God knows, at least around where I am, majority of people going to food trucks are dudes who look exactly like me. We're into fucking comics, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
Like, just ring the fucking bell. Like,
yeah,
that is the easy way to pair up.
I think that's a great idea.
It takes nothing out of the food truck. You can pair with them and create something fun. You may even be able to partner with them to be able to maybe do new art for the side of their truck, do new promotional things. You could end up getting freelance work out of this if you're someone like yourself who's a freelance artist. You could end up just being able to create a clientele where somebody sees this stuff and maybe they don't pull the trigger this time, but you decide that you're going to go and meet up with this food truck again. And, you know, they start promoting, hey, we're going to be at University of Baltimore from 11 to 3. At Jay Minoguchi is going to be with us selling comics and doing live art. Come hang out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be great.
Just basically get like a piece of foam core and you start spray painting, airbrushing, just Sharpies, and just go hardcore and do an art piece that's inspired by barbecue or the school mascot or whatever it is. And if you sell it there, cool. Sell it on the cheap. You know what I mean? Just highest bidder. You basically do a quick thing of like, hey, want to take this thing home? $100 cash, takes it.
Yeah.
and just first come, first serve. And then you sell all your other wares as you're going. You could then end up turning that idea into a giant food truck gathering. What's going on?
Dishwasher is going to start, so if you hear a white noise on my end, that is why.
That's all good.
I like the idea of partnering with an existing food truck to kind of coattail off of them for a little bit.
Well, I mean, the reality is they're trying to get people to come out too. What's worst case scenario? You bring 5 or 6 people, and then maybe they tell a couple people, and maybe you're never as much of a draw as the food truck is. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you're twice the draw the food truck is.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows? You know, we have a couple artist friends that if they did a pop-up next to a food truck, it'd go bananas.
Oh, my God. If Nick did that, anywhere, like if he's going to a con and he decides, hey, I'm going to do this like the day before the show.
Right. If Ghost Free Hood gets together with a taco truck and decides to do a live mural and sell all of his wares or whatever it is, and you can go hang out and go get tacos and go get some art and hang out and put a little music on.
Printing money right there.
Printing money. Now, the idea is then we take your idea of the Sheep and Wool Festival and we have a gathering of the food trucks. And as you go around, you hit the barbecue joint and there's Jamie. You hit the taco truck and there's Nick. You hit the Gypsy Queen truck that's got all this cool stuff and there's Michael Bracco. Mm-hmm. And you just start working your way around and you find the best, you know, you go up to Philly, you find the best Philly artists and the best Philly food. You find out who's friends with who. You see who's recommendations of each other. You start to see really rad looking art because honestly, like, I could see that upping just the look of some of these food trucks just by partnering with some of you guys. Because some of the logos on some of these food trucks, they look like crap. Like, Chow's delicious, but it's nothing visually to draw you in. Like, great, you've got an orange truck. Okay, but why should I get interested about it? What's the cool thing? What sets you apart from the other trucks?
And that could be part of the event, too. Like, during the day, the artists could be partnered with a specific truck. They wrap their truck in, like, a white thing, and during the day that artist does their own take of that truck's logo and branding and all that kind of stuff.
You could totally do that. You could end up wrapping the truck. You could end up just doing like we do with Art Fight and laying paper down over top part of the truck. Hell, you could actually use the truck, part of the truck, as an actual board to do the art on.
Oh my God.
You're something for someone to walk around. The line's long. I'm waiting for barbecue to cook. But fuck, at least there's this rad dude who's drawing all this cool stuff, and they're taking Instagram shots of you. They're tagging the truck. They're tagging you. There's all of this other marketing going on. We then get that big gathering of the food trucks, and now it's an excuse. We've got partnering with Anheuser-Busch or whoever. There's a beer truck there. Now everyone's coming to hang out. We hired a local band. Right. Yeah. Everyone's getting drunk and spending money and hanging out and listening to music and checking out art. Doing a great thing and all hanging out in the parking lot and the whole thing ends and you guys are making money. The food trucks are making money because people have something else to hang out and do, and it just gives people more of an excuse. It creates a family environment. It creates an extra reason to hang out. Fuck, this is actually a good idea.
I think I need this to happen. We have next summer. Why don't we plan this for next summer?
You have all of the fall.
There's
nothing to really stop you until it's too damn cold to enjoy barbecue. As far as I'm fucking concerned, it's never too damn cold to enjoy barbecue, but I think you've got food gatherings into October.
Yes, yes.
You could probably contact some different ones. And I think, Jamie, you and I may actually know a food truck that we can contact.
Yeah.
So I think you and I will talk about that after the podcast.
I kind of want this to happen.
I think genuinely if you sat down with a bunch of other artists and started reaching out and saying, hey, there's a food truck gathering. Mm-hmm. We'd like to set up next to you. What do we need to do?
Yeah.
Booth space-wise, permit-wise, space-wise. Like, what's the deal? Because if it's just hang out and put a table on the street, maybe you need to get a street performer's license.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, fuck it, get a street performer's license.
Yeah. I should also talk to Monica, who organizes Be More Into Comics. Because they already have a group of people who are, you know, hitting up bars and hitting up small events to table and show off their stuff. I think a bunch of them would love to get in on this and, like, you know, work with the food trucks and partner with them and, like, do the thing, do the live art thing.
And I think the difference in between this and a Be More Into Comics event is a Be More Into Comics event I've always viewed as kind of a mini con.
Yes.
And if there's no one necessarily there that you're interested in, or you popped in and you're just coming in to see your friends, you've probably seen a lot of the other same people. If you end up working with food trucks and you end up kind of roaming around, maybe the food trucks start to see you as an asset and they start fighting over you. You just kind of have a gentleman's handshake agreement of just like, hey, I want to start hanging out with a bunch of food trucks here. I know you may not always be available, but I'd like to give you first call on dates.
Yeah.
And they say, well, okay, here's our current schedule. We'd like you here, 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 and here, because here are where we have that demographic of that 18 to 35 or whatever it is demographic that we think could be into your art. Then you're not showing up trying to sell your art at a motorcycle festival in Dundalk.
Yeah.
But a college campus, somewhere near Mica, any of that stuff, like, that's an easy way to start kind of spreading your message and what you're into.
Jesus Christ. This is so good. This is so good.
Cool. All right.
We can make this happen.
I'm going to stretch that out feeling good about that. That was first swing, by the way. I just want to remind everybody I came into that one hard.
No, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is a thing that could actually happen.
It actually could. And that's the thing is, I think if you intentionally start small and you don't expect it to blow up to a Sheep and Wool Festival size.
Yeah.
Even if it only ever makes it to the same size as like a traditional food truck gathering, and some of them, like I think there's one in Philly that has something like 50 or 60 trucks, and like it gets big.
Yeah.
But like the ones around here in Baltimore, I've seen, you know, 15 trucks all in one spot.
That's pretty good.
I mean, even if not everybody had an artist, but just, you know, some stuff. I mean, hell, man, you could hang out next to a cupcake place. It doesn't have to be barbecue or tacos or whatever it is. You could end up hooking up with somebody. You never know what sort of relationship you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be a cool way to kind of do something. I think once you figure out the logistics of, like, what's the thing that you're doing other than just sitting behind a table?
Yeah.
I think that's got to be the core thing, though, is like, artists have to be actively engaged. If you get these people who just sit behind their booth and don't do anything, that's no good. I think you got to have a partner for this sort of thing. And you gotta start being active. Like, in the event for you and I come and I run your table while you do
the
live
big thing.
Right. Yeah. You start spray painting or whatever the hell it is that you're doing to be a cool thing, and I'm just selling your wares. Then you've got someone handling your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And using and integrating the truck into the art, even if it's just like a temporary sticker that we put on the side, or like, you know, leaning up a canvas on the side, like integrating that into the thing. I think that's the way to do it.
The first one I'm thinking of, the one that keeps popping into my head is Kami Pig, the one that we partnered with previous Art Fight show. Jamie, the idea of you doing a giant pig version of Omega Red from the X-Men. Like, so cool.
Or like a giant Robo Pig Cherno Alpha,
Colossus in a Kiss the Chef apron, and just ton of playing off the whole bit. You know, a Tiananmen Square, but it's a giant pig instead of a tank. Like, whatever you want to do, kind of playing off that name that the business is comfortable with, of course. But like, kind of throw the idea out there and just be like, hey, what are you gonna do? And you go, I think I'm gonna do this, and they go, all right, fuck it.
Ivan Drago is a giant pig.
Look, how good would that be?
I must bacon you.
Ivan Drago just beating on beef. Right, just playing it up. Hell, Stallone on the ground and Drago just victorious, arms up in the air. Yeah, just some sort of play off of that would be fucking great. And honestly, Jamie, you could do that with a clean Art Fight style setup. Some butcher paper and black and red Sharpies. And honestly, you could even theme your markers along with the colors of the truck.
Oh, dude, yeah.
You could do white paper, black marker, red marker, yellow marker, and just do all of the accent right there and be able to stay on brand with them with little to no effort and low cost.
Ugh.
Because if all of it really costs you is parking, there's a good chance, even if you just put a tip jar out where you're doing the art, you'll end up recouping your costs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, I love this idea so much. And it could work.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, should we try to do something in the fall?
You and I can definitely talk about it after the fact. I think if anybody else, I'm going to say it. If you know a food truck, if you own a food truck, if you work on or with a food truck and you want to see this happen, if you're an artist and you want to partner with us and maybe join up and try and put something together, hit us up.
Yeah.
I have no idea if we can get it off the ground quickly, what the permits are. I'm honestly concerned about the permitting.
That's the thing that screwed me up when I was trying to figure out like the food truck situation to just sell.
And we can figure all that out because I think we can get away with just a street performance permit. So if you do it, but I don't know if we can sell merch at a table, but I think it would be no different than, let's say, a street performer having a bin of CDs.
Right.
And you know, having it there. I don't know what the difference is. Like, do we get into an issue where the second I set up a small folding table, does everybody go, hey, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Like, I don't know. But I think if we could set up a 4-foot folding table and, you know, just right next to the stuff, do a real mini version of your con setup and let you go fucking, for the lack of a better word, hog wild on doing the art. Fuck yeah.
Dude.
If anything, Jamie, it's just an excuse to get barbecue for lunch and hang out. That's never a good idea.
Yeah, that's always a great idea.
Yeah.
Like, even if no one shows up, we at least got to hang out at a food truck.
Yeah. Honestly, you could tiptoe into this and just do the performance art in a tip jar and see if there's any market for it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even have to set up the table first time. If you just set up and just did performance art or a mural there and then just parlayed it into, hey, by the way, if you like this, I have comics, I have prints, I have puppy cows that I can move. Maybe you do a partner with the food truck and they decide that they're going to do some sort of puppy cow themed barbecue thing or something like that. We do something really terribly a terrible joke.
I could make custom like pig action figures because I have the access to that technology.
You are partnering to try and get your toy company off the ground. Maybe if you can parlay one thing into the other, who knows? You never know what ideas you're going to stumble upon.
Yeah.
Just doing this whole idea in the first place.
Oh my God, this is so stupid.
I think,
could
Jamie,
work.
So go where the people are. People are going to come get chow, especially if the place serves good chow.
Mm-hmm.
Food trucks get a following. Those people like to be entertained. I know I've been in lines by myself waiting for the food truck. If I'm in a bad mood, I've had a day, and I just want a good bit of food, I'm going to be in a shit mood waiting for that food to get there. No matter how fast they're working or how efficient they are or how good they are, no amount of time is going to be fast enough for me to be able to get it. If I'm distracted, I'll be in a better mood, I'm more likely to tip, and I'm less shitty to everyone else around me. That's never a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Fuck it. All right, cool. Stop the recording. Fuck it.
We got some planning to do.
We hit oil. We're good.
All right. Caravan Comics coming maybe this fall. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah. Yeah. We call it Gorilla Press.
Yeah. All right. You can – oh, yeah. If you are interested in working with us on this idea, hit us up at info@fuckingdoitcast.com.
Yep.
Our email works. We got spam. I was going to read the spam today, but fuck it. This is better than the spam. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. I am Angry Zen Master.
I'm at Brandon Chalmers.
And you can find either of us wherever. But like,
Type Jamie Noguchi or type Brandon Chalmers into your Google machines. You're bound to find us. If you can't find us that way, superartfight.com for tickets and details for upcoming shows and where you can actually see us in person. We're on all forms of social media, I think, other than Snapchat, because we're old men.
Yeah.
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 But that's okay.
No one wants snaps from us.
More to the point, I don't know what I'd do with it, and I just end up upsetting somebody. I know where I don't belong. It's better that way. You kids enjoy your snaps. It's fine.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, and we got some planning to do.
Later.
Later.